One of the conversations that maybe we can have with Adam Schefter after we get past the trade deadline, I didn't want to bog him down with this today because, again, trade deadline, and that's where his mind is at, and we're less than a week away. He's got his list of all that. But it's kind of a conversation we've had a little bit here, Chewy, on you can't pay everyone. And we have now reached this point of the resets, I guess, that we're calling it, from the Packers that started with Jordan Love starting at quarterback and Goody hitting on some of the draft picks that they've had, you know, from 4 or 5 years ago. A lot of those guys are up. Some of those guys got paid. Zach Tom got a big deal this offseason. We've had Christian Watson got a nice little extension just for 1 year, but, you know, a $13 million extension is nothing to sneeze at. For next season, but you're going to still have to make a decision on him after 2026. And the receiver room, we've gone over that. You know, Romeo Doubs, what do you do with him? Dontavian Wicks, what do you, you know, Jaden Reed. These are all guys that are going to be going into next offseason looking for contract extensions. Tucker Kraft, who I think everybody agrees the Packers are just going to pay because he's one of the special guys on this team. But one of those guys that they did not give the fifth-year option to, and understandably so. I don't think it had anything to do with Quay Walker. Quay Walker could have been the best inside linebacker in the NFL, and they probably wouldn't have given him the fifth-year option just because it didn't make sense. Like, the way they do that, Chew, if you're an outside linebacker, like if you're T.J. Watt, right? He's an outside linebacker. He's an edge rusher, but considered a linebacker. So that gets factored into, like, what you would end up paying an inside linebacker. It just doesn't make sense the way they do it. So the money wouldn't have made sense to guarantee a one-year deal for him. But, so the Packers declined it, but said, hey, we're still interested in making Quay Walker a long-term part of this team. We want to come to an extension, an agreement with him. His teammates obviously like him, too. He was elected a captain this season. He's got the C on his jersey, still has the green dot calling the defense out there. But given some of the other options they have at linebacker, and I don't know if he's played well enough to this point, and he's played well. I don't know if he's played well enough to this point where the Packers are going, yeah, this is somebody we need to throw a lot of money at, because as you like to say, you can't pay everybody.
Well, number one, you can't listen or believe them when they say we want to sign him to a long-term extension, because I've heard that before.
Okay, so I will make this caveat. I believe them when they say they want to sign him to a long-term extension. They want to sign him to a long-term extension at whatever number they have in their mind.
Well, let me ask both of you this. Is he better than Devontae Wyatt at his position? Is Quay Walker better at his position than
Devontae Wyatt is at his
Devontae
position?
Devontae Wyatt is at D tackle. Because they can't pay both of them. They got to either pay one or the other. My guess is they're going to pay Wyatt. And, I mean, Wyatt for an average starting D tackle, Gabe, would you say 17 to 19 million?
Yeah, probably somewhere in that range.
17 to 19. Tucker Kraft's going to be 20. I mean, Quay Walker, what did Zach Bond get with Philly? You know? And I still go to the Ron Wolf theory of, you know, your linebackers are third most important, I think, on your defense. I think it's D line, corner. And then I think, safety and linebacker kind of go hand in hand. But you need a really good D-line, and you need really good corners.
So guys like Cameron Hayward are getting $14.5 million. Javon Hargrave for the Minnesota Vikings is $15 million. Ed Oliver, $17 million. Jonathan Allen for the Vikings, $17 million. Vita Vea is $17.75. So I don't think he's good as Vita, right?
But some of those guys are old. Vita Vea is old, though.
Yeah, but he's not as good as Vita Vea. So I don't think he makes that money. So that's where I think he slots in around that 15. Maybe he gets up to that, close to that, at 17, and Vita's the 17th highest paid defensive tackle. I don't think right now the Packers have depth at defensive tackle. I think defensive tackle's more of a position of need for them, whereas at linebacker, you know, not that Isaiah McDuffie's better than Quay Walker, but they like Isaiah McDuffie. They think he's a serviceable player. They have Edgerrin Cooper, who they really like. You know, we haven't seen a lot from Tyron Hopper, who was, you know, a relatively high draft pick for this team. So there's just more bodies, and I feel like more depth at that position, where if they can't get Quay Walker at what they deem to be a team-friendly deal, and the longer this thing drags out, Chu, the closer that Quay Walker gets to free agency, why would he, you know... The reason why you take a lesser deal or a team-friendly deal is to protect yourself, to give yourself guaranteed money. And the closer we get to free agency, there's nothing to protect, right? Like, now you're a free agent, and you just go end up going to the highest bidder. I got to imagine that there's going to be a team that's going to be willing to pay more money for Quay Walker than what the Packers want to, because, again, they have other guys in other areas of need.
And he's young, you know? And he's young. So my guess is, I mean, if you haven't heard rumblings yet of him signing an extension, because he gains more leverage as the season goes on.
Yeah.
You know, because the risk is less. And this is something we can ask Jason, who they are negotiating with out of this group. Doesn't sound like they're negotiating with anybody.
Doesn't seem like it.
I mean, it's a little early for Kraft. If they were going to sign... same thing with Dobbs. You know, he's gaining more leverage as the season goes along.
Why
wouldn't you test free agency?
I can't imagine that they have much interest in re-signing Romeo Dobbs. I know that there's this movement out there. I still don't think that Romeo is somebody that's an extension candidate. Because if you lock him up, like, you're limiting yourself of Jaden, Matthew Golden, down the line.
So are him and Wicks both up next year?
No, so Wicks would have one more year. But again, typically, you know, you're going to be, as you're entering that final year of the deal, as you know, that's when a lot of times the negotiations happen. It's what happened with Zach Tom this offseason, right? They gave him the big contract. He was set to be a free agent at the end of this year. They gave him the security. So they're going to sign, presumably, Tucker Kraft to a big contract this offseason, because he's going to be entering that final year. And I think, again, that just kind of limits everything that you're able to do. Now, are you going to free up some money on the, you know, when you move on, presumably, from Elgton Jenkins? Like, there's ways to move on for money and open up some cash. But
and then Sean Ryan's gone, too, right?
Sean Ryan's going to be gone. But it's just this kind of constant moving thing that the Micah Parsons deal, again, which I would do over and over and over again, because Micah's that good of a player.
Oh, he's that good of a player, but then you add Rashawn Gary, who's having a very good year, probably benefiting from having Parsons.
Oh, he's 100%.
But his cap number is getting to the point where it's you scratch your head a little
bit. So this year it's about 25. Next year it jumps up to 28. But if Rashawn Gary has a career year, Chew, I mean, I know Rashawn is somebody that we have talked about, like, with this production... $28 million for a guy who gets 9 sacks probably doesn't make sense. But if he continues to do what he's doing, and I know he's disappeared for a couple of games.
Yeah.
But if at the end of the year you look down and he's in double-digit sacks for the first time, I think they probably ride it out for one more year.
Is their window wide open right now?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the reason I say that, Gabe, why their window is wide open, you know, they're going to start running into a little bit of cap issues. I mean... You can fudge the cap, but marry that with you don't have two first-round picks
Correct. Next
year and the year after. So it's going to be a little tougher to replenish guys that
You're going to have to hit on...
You're not going to be able to bring back.
You have to hit on the second and third and fourth-round picks to backfill this roster without a doubt.
So their money years are this year, next year, and the year after.
Yeah.
So you got to make hay.
Well, and I think we already knew that just based on the Micah Parsons deal, right?
Correct.
Because after this year, next year, and the year after, that fourth year of this contract for Micah Parsons, decisions have to be made because the number is so astronomical that you have to do something with that.
Wouldn't every team in the NFL kill to
for this
have
position?
Such an open three-year window?
Yeah. 100%. That may go down as the dumbest trade in the history of the NFL. Could very well go down. If the Packers win two out of the next three or two out of the next four,
it's 8:12 in the morning. Stop getting me so excited.
It'll be the three out dumbest of the next four? Trade. It'll be the dumbest trade because you know what? You keep Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons and you get rid of CeeDee Lamb. They're so dumb. Why are there so many dumb people in the NFL? It's just
I don't know, but I'm glad we don't have those dumb people running our team. But again, but it leads you, even though you have to figure out, okay, who are our core guys that we can keep this window open the longest with?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the questions that you're asking yourself when it comes to, okay, do we re-sign this guy? Do we re-sign that guy? Like, those are the questions you ultimately end up asking. And that's why I think Quay Walker is such an interesting one, because I was at the beginning of the season thinking there's no chance. But the way that Matt LaFleur talks about him, the way, again, he was selected a captain by his teammates. But is he truly somebody that the Packers want around? And if that's the case, why didn't they try to get a deal done sooner?
Didn't Jason tell us that there was reports of an offer, I don't know if being on the table, but an extension talk had happened?
Yeah.
I believe that was prior to the Micah thing and how that all is going to work out. I mean, you have to prioritize and you have to pick guys, and you have a lot of young guys that are all coming up at the same time.
Yeah.
I just don't view it as that big of a problem.
No, look. This is a first world problem thing,
yeah.
Josh,
but it's
still a conversation there's... that they have to have of which young players do we want to be a part of this core of the window that Chewy was just talking about.
I guess I didn't explain myself well enough. I think they're going to be able to keep all the guys they want through the clever working of the cap. I think there might be a couple decisions where, yes, we would have liked that guy as another depth option, or we would have liked that guy. But I think when it comes to the guys they're going to prioritize as starters and guys they think they want around, like, longer term, I just don't know who really they'd be moving on from that they are going. That's going to be a bitter decision. Like, I wish we didn't have to do this type of deal.
So you don't see a Micah Hyde in this group?
Not necessarily.
A Casey Hayward?
I don't think I do. I mean, both those guys went on to get better than they ever were as Packers, which is pretty rare. And a lot of that has to do with opportunity.
But also, like, those were guys after their first year or first deal, the Packers did not re-sign, or their rookie deal, and then they were able to kind of flourish. Kind of similar to what the Packers did with Xavier McKinney.
So the way I view those two is the Packers, I never had the feeling the Packers really wanted to keep either two of those guys. Like, I didn't feel like that
Hayward and Hyde.
Oh, and
I think they just made bad evals. I think they thought they weren't as good as they ended up to go on to be.
Yeah, but Rasul was Ted. I think Rasul was Ted.
It was 2019. Rasul Douglas came in 2019.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hyde. Hyde was Ted.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
He dropped the ball on that because he was a football player and he didn't like him for whatever reason. But correct me if I'm wrong, and you guys are just going to say I'm wrong because you never have my back. I'll just throw that out there as a caveat.
I just talked about how I had your back the last hour.
I believe I said Quay Walker would have a breakout year.
But that's the thing, Chew. I don't know if he's having a breakout year.
Yeah, like, it's halfway through the season.
Yeah, but you're ready to write off Matthew Golden.
Oh, I nailed it. You're welcome. I could tell you
We're halfway through the season. We're seven games through the season.
And I even offered Joshy off the air to come join the club, and he still refused.
I don't want
which
your
is,
stinking
blows
club.
My mind. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know.
What does Joshy hate more? And we can pull this.
Okay. Does
he hate being wrong? Or does he hate me being right more?
Oh, that's easy. That's so
what is
easy.
It?
He hates you being right.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Okay. We don't even need to pull it.
I mean, we can.
All right.
Just to see how lopsided it gets.
Yes.
I think it's pretty obvious to anybody who pays attention to the show which answer that Joshy would choose. I mean, Joshy doesn't like being wrong. Nobody likes being wrong. But he hates you being right more because you are one of the biggest fans of I told you so. Which Chewy doesn't ever say, I told you so. What does he say? You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want you guys to say it.
For the guy whose most frequent statement is self-praise stink PU, boy, he finds interesting ways to keep it on himself.
Again, that's where the you're welcome thing comes. Because he's not he's looking for you to pile it on.
That's right. If you phrase it correctly, it's not self-praise stink PU.
He wants to put the ball really close to the rim. Yes. So you can dunk it for
it's
him.
Not even
that's
that
what he's
you.
Looking to do.
It's just tap it on the rim.
That's what he's actually looking
for. Just call me Mr. Assist. That's what I'm all about.
Hey, guys, if you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. Symptoms of low testosterone include low energy and motivation, fatigue, you're tired all the time, weight gain, muscle loss, especially belly fat, you're feeling anxious, moody, or irritable. Those are all signs of low testosterone. And the good news is Mentality can help. A local health care facility specializes in helping men feel and perform at their very best. And they focus on free testosterone, which can get overlooked by a lot of doctors. So they ensure that your treatment is tailored to your body. Again, this is one size fits all. They want to tailor that treatment for you. And if you work with Mentality, your energy comes roaring back, the belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, you feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be at your best for yourself and for your family. Go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. mentalityhealth.com/radio. Set up that first appointment. See if Mentality can help you, and you can start feeling like yourself again at mentalityhealth.com/radio.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is the Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com. A couple of texts here on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. John saying, Goody has proven time and time again he can manage the cap along with Russ Ball. I don't see this being an issue at all. I'd actually put money on Romeo getting a second contract. Which is interesting, because Romeo Doubs is another one of those guys that, again, along with somebody like Quay Walker, he's just interesting. I know he's got a great connection with Jordan Love. What are you paying for if you give Romeo Doubs a contract extension? Like, what are you paying for? I understand the $13 million that you gave Christian Watson, because what you're paying for there, Chew, is a guy who's big and fast.
Yes.
Right? He can stretch the field. I just don't know what you're paying for when it comes to Romeo Doubs. Like, he's got the same...
He doesn't do anything great. He does a lot of things good. Right?
Yep. He does something good.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good route runner. He has good hands. He, where would you put his speed? Average speed?
Average to below.
I mean, he is a two, a mid-level two.
At best, he's a two. And it's funny because over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there's a great article from Tom Silverstein. And Spoon is trying to dive in and try to figure out why, since the first two games of the year, because the Packers came out like gangbust, 17 points, 14 points in the first half of those two games. Since then, they have struggled, and they have not played well in the first half, including this last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just 7 points, three punts in that first half against the Steelers. And his hypothesis is they finally get to what their actual philosophy is, Chew. In the second half, they actually start to spread it around more.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they actually start to spread it around. And in the first half, they force kind of focus in on one guy. And typically that one guy is Romeo Doubs. And he goes on to say, it's not to say you shouldn't be throwing the ball to Doubs at all, but at the same time, like, I think Doubs is probably getting too many opportunities, especially early in games. And that could be a reason why this team kind of struggles, because he's not an elite type of guy that you should be force feeding these types of opportunities to early in games.
But typically your Z is going to get your most targets in this offense, you know, and then everyone else comes after Z. The problem is you can't move them to X, because X,
you need
X
more speed.
X is usually away. Well, usually he is always away from formation, but he's usually singled up on the backside, and he just doesn't have the speed to get that done. So that's why he gets the targets he does. And, you know, I've said this a million times before the Super Bowl, one of the easiest bets if you're in a West Coast-type offense is the first completion, because they always like to get the quarterback warmed up with a 3 or a 5-step drop, short routes, and it kind of gets your linemen settled into. You're not starting the game with a 7-step drop against Aiden Hutchinson on the outside against Wallace. It's just a way to get it going. And typically, like I said, Z gets the most targets. That's just the way this offense is set up. And then they get it going, and then the line settles in, and then Jordan settles in, and then you open your intermediate and deeper routes as the game goes along.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I think the numbers are just there, and it's worth taking a look at the Silverstein piece of, hey, they kind of focus on one guy early in games, and maybe that's a reason why they are struggling a little bit in the first half, because they start to spread it around, and they did so in the second half against the Steelers. I mean, obviously they ended up targeting Tucker Kraft a ton, and mm-hmm. he ended up, you know, rewarding that faith with a career high game. But that's where, I mean, you had pointed out, you, I think it was at 9 or 10 different guys had caught balls in the game on Sunday, and a lot of that started to come after halftime when this team started to really start to go. In the final two quarters, so Kraft had 5 targets, Emmanuel Wilson 3, Watson had 2, Golden had 2, Dobbs, Heath, Jacobs, Musgrave, Fitzpatrick, Savion Williams had 1 apiece.
Well, that's also...
in terms of targets, that's targets.
That's also halftime adjustments when you go in there, and I'm sure the receivers and Kraft is probably saying, hey, these guys can't cover us. Let's throw the ball, because that's essentially what they did, is they aired it out.
Sure, but they also threw the ball early and didn't have success with it, maybe because they were focusing too much on one guy. Like, it's hard for me to take a look at some of the numbers that Spoon put in this piece and go, okay, like, Romeo serves a purpose on this team, but should he be force-fed targets early in the game the way that Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, because again, some of it's on Love as well, because there are times where Love throws the ball his way and there might be other guys open if he's just a little bit more patient with the football. But
it's correctable, because you look at Tells, or actually the coaching staff look at Tells every game and game out, and my guess is they see this and like, okay, we got to pivot away from this. So it's easily correctable. You know, what? And I'm sure the run had a little bit to do with it, because he was very committed to the run early on in the game. You know, it's very correctable.
What I would like to see, and just try it out, give it a little test. What if we just flip flopped Matthew Golden and Romeo Dobbs and saw what happened for a week?
Against a bad team, yeah, that's fine.
Give Matthew Golden those opportunities. You're not taking Romeo off the field, or really, I mean, you are a little bit, but that's like 10 to 15 snaps a game, and you're dropping the targets from those two and flip-flopping them around. Why don't we see how that works? Because it seems like, with the way I watched Matthew Golden in college and the things he's done well when he's had opportunity, seems like the things he does best are a lot of the things that they want Romeo to do as well.
Well, Josh, what I think is going to happen, because you're going to see, obviously, Watson's numbers go up, you know, from 35 snaps to 50-something snaps. I think you're going to see Watson on the field much more, and you're going to see – we'll see if Golden pushes Dobbs to fewer reps. I don't think they're going to flip-flop.
I don't either.
Think they're going to go Golden Z, and not when Christian Watson is back.
Well, you know,
I think you'll see them. You might see Golden's reps go down a little bit, and you might see Dobbs's reps go down a little bit, because they're going to leave Watson on the field. And I think eventually they want to get to where it's Golden and Watson on the field, because that's a lot of speed, and speed kills.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty clear, especially after the extension of Watson, that their preferred three would be Golden, Watson, and Reed.
Yes,
those are the three they want on the field probably the most, especially mm-hmm. with Romeo Dobbs still being out there without a contract extension. That's what it's signaling to me, but I think that's going to happen in 2026.
Yes.
And we're just going to kind of hope to get the best out of Romeo, because I think Romeo is a security blanket for both Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, because they mm-hmm. know where he's going to be. They know the level of consistency he generally shows. He's not going to blow you off the page. He's not going to make a ton of explosive plays in terms of like running away from guys or making guys miss, but that's a guy they trust clearly to be in the right spot and make the catches.
Which is why I disagree with Kyle, because Kyle texts in on the Carbless Talking text line, isn't Romeo Dobbs a Donald Driver 2.0? Security blanket can be valuable. Kyle from 262, no. No, Donald Driver made people miss.
Yeah.
Like, just go ahead and Google, Kyle, Donald Driver versus 49ers. And he actually happened to be wearing some throwback uniforms, which the Packers are going to be wearing throwback uniforms, and it seems like the one thing most people are interested in with the Packers helmets is how Romeo Dobbs'
guardian cap
is going to look with the way the helmets are going to look this weekend. But go look at that play that Donald Driver makes where he breaks like eight tackles on his way to the end zone. Just Google Donald Driver versus 49ers, look at that play, and then come back to the Carbless Talk and text line and let me know if you think that Romeo Dobbs could do something like that.
Yeah,
because the answer is no.
I think there's a degree of people think we're, much like the Rashawn Gary thing, it's not that we think Romeo Dobbs shouldn't be on the field.
No.
Or that he's like Equanimeous St. Brown.
That's
definitely not what
we're saying. He's light years ahead of EQ.
Yes.
Light years.
Mm-hmm. And he's a good player and a player I think most teams would want to have around. The Packers are just in an interesting situation where they have a first-round pick. They have two guys coming back from injury, and we sort of know what Romeo Dobbs is at this time. I think the Packers would be happy with him as a third or fourth option every single week.
And I think that's what he should be, is the third or fourth. But instead, now I think Tucker finally passed him in targets.
And if he is the third option, he's better than 95% of other teams' third options.
100%. I just don't think he should be getting those number one option targets.
That's right there with you.
Yeah, I would like to see what happens if you gave Christian Watson those, if you gave Matthew Golden those, Jaden Reed those, right? Because those guys are more explosive, and I think those guys can make bigger plays than Romeo can. Again, not saying that I want Romeo off this team, because there is value to him. But also because they don't know what to do with him, is another reason why I don't think they're giving him a contract extension. And because he can't make those explosive plays, and you have guys behind him who possibly can, it's another reason why I wonder about a possible contract extension for him. We have spent some time talking about the Wisconsin Badger football program. I can't imagine we're going to spend much more time after today, but there was a major booster who did an interview for the Wisconsin State Journal. And I want to dive into some of that, because we did talk about this earlier this week as well. We dive into that. Coming up next is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else
earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jim Polzin does a great job covering the Badgers over at the Wisconsin State Journal. And we've discussed the state of Wisconsin football on this show. Hasn't been good. They've lost 10 straight Big Ten games. Obviously, only have two wins this year. The whole Brando thing. Tim Brando kind of calling out what we believe was our guy, Brad Nortman, in the afternoons, who does know a thing or two about the University of Wisconsin football team and high school football here in the state of Wisconsin. Like, just there's no positive news around Wisconsin. And I don't know if this is positive or not. I think it's just good information, a good job by Jim, who sat down with Ted Kellner. Now, for those who don't know, Ted is a major booster of the University of Wisconsin.
I would go as far to say Ted is a large portion of why Wisconsin athletics are where they are right now and have been in recent memory.
Yes.
In terms of them growing into a national noisemaker in all sports, not just football.
Yeah, I mean, he is the guy.
Yes.
When it comes to Wisconsin boosters, like, he is the guy. He's tight with Barry, and obviously with his money, he is tight with the program. So Jim Polzin talked with him on Monday, Chew, about the state of Wisconsin football, and some of the highlights saying Jim feels like the tone of Kellner has changed in the last 11 plus months since they chatted, although that might have to do with the last time they talked was before Wisconsin lost to Oregon last year in Madison. And it was more of a conversation about NIL and where Wisconsin fits in, especially a team like Oregon who has the backing of, you know, Phil Knight and Nike, which last time I checked, Nike's got a lot of money and Phil's got a lot of money, even more than Ted. But really, Kellner is not calling for anyone's head. Here's the quote. "I don't get angst as a lot of people do. Do I wish we were doing better? Sure. Does Luke want to be doing better? Of course. But the decision on whomever we have at coach should reside only with Chris McIntosh. And I think he's a very good athletic director. And I think things will be vastly different next year on a number of fronts as it pertains particularly to football. So Kellner, you take a look at some of these other firings that have taken place. And college football is such a unique and hilarious space to me at times. For example, at LSU, they're going through some transition of the leadership at LSU, like at the university level, not just in the athletic department, but at the university level. So literally the governor of Louisiana was in on the meetings that where they basically decided to fire Brian Kelly on Sunday. Like the governor of the bleeping state. When they decided to fire Brian Kelly. That's how high it up it went there. But obviously there were boosters that were putting pressure on the program. Boosters that put pressure on Florida to get rid of their coach a couple of weeks ago. And a lot of times we see this. I think we see it in Texas, Alabama, all these major schools. When they have these struggles, boosters apply that pressure. Well, the main booster for the University of Wisconsin is not applying that pressure. And I'll tell you what, Chu, I respect the stance of, hey, I'm not qualified to make those decisions. Chris McIntosh is, and I trust Chris. I respect Ted Kellner saying that.
Yeah, I do, and I agree with him. Let people do their jobs, but they're not doing their jobs. That's the problem. I mean, what's going to get better? And I can tell you this. I'm familiar with a program where the coaches in an administration fundraise in the off season. And raise $1 million or $2 that go to NIL. I don't think Luke Fickell's doing that, or I haven't heard that Luke Fickell is putting together fundraisers to raise money so that money can go into a pool to get better players. Okay? How is it going to get better? Any kid that's worth his salt at Wisconsin, or half of them, are going to transfer out.
Yeah, I would
think
so.
How is next year going to be better? You need players in order to get better, unless you're going to spend $20 million, which they're not going to do, like Ohio State. And the reason, who's the guy at Indiana?
Kurt Cignetti.
Cignetti, great coach, and they got an influx of cash from Mark Cuban.
Yep.
So they could go out and buy those players. But it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, this is terrible. You didn't go to a bowl last year in how many years at the University of Wisconsin?
Oh, it ended a 20-plus year bowl
20
streak.
Plus years. Yeah. This year, you're probably going to win two games.
Yep.
So the standard, obviously, at Wisconsin is different than the standard at LSU, Penn State, Florida.
We kind of already knew that, though, didn't we? Yeah, I mean, LSU, literally the last three coaches that were hired at LSU before Brian Kelly won national championships. Like, the standard at LSU is different. I mean, the standard at LSU is,
sure.
Like, I mean, honestly, it's probably a top five standard program
in
the country.
Gabe, what is the standard? You know what? I think people, Wisconsin fans would be fine with being Iowa. You know what Iowa did?
Spent $1 million on their quarterback.
They paid $1 million on their quarterback, who's a good quarterback, won't play in the pros. He's a good college player. They spent $1 million.
Yep.
Until Wisconsin's willing to do that to just be Iowa, it ain't going to happen. Otherwise, you're going to be Rutgers or Maryland. Now Rutgers and Maryland would love to have Wisconsin on their schedule. And I know Maryland already beat them. That's where we're at right now. That's the University of Wisconsin.
And again, I think it comes down to, as Chris McIntosh did in the letter he wrote to fans, Kellner alludes to in the piece with Jim Polzin, influx of money coming in. Again, I don't know where this money is coming from. I don't know where they found this money. I don't know why they didn't use this money before, if it was available to them. But it just seems to be the response right now from the university, and obviously now from a very financially well-off backer, is there's more money coming in. Next year, we're going to have more money, and things are going to change. And honestly, Chu, it can change overnight if you have enough money. But the vagueness of, oh, we're going to have more money, that doesn't really help me out, because I don't know how much money they actually have, and that's actually enough to make a difference. Because Indiana did turn it around overnight. They hired the right coach, they gave him a bunch of money, and they turned it around overnight. But they gave him, like you said, from Mark Cuban, they gave him a lot of money. And I don't know how much money the University of Wisconsin is going to have. And again, my problem comes back to, if you do have that type of money that you can just now throw at this program.
Yeah.
I don't know if Luke Fickell has shown that he deserves another chance with that money, given some of the things he already has not done with this team. I don't think it's just as simple as this team is 2-in, whatever they are, with a 10-game Big Ten losing streak because they've had some injuries at quarterback.
And I can tell you this, if they do get, they're going to have to overpay. Because if you're going to try to pay the same amount for a kid going to Wisconsin or Iowa, kids pick in Iowa. Kids pick in Iowa. Why wouldn't you? You'd be like, well, you know, they win. You know, how long's Fickell going to be around? He can't win. That's the problem. You know, it's like Green Bay way back in the heyday where it's like, well, we kind of got to overpay because we're Green Bay. You know what cures that, Gabe? Winning.
Mm-hmm.
Winning cures it. So,
and now you got to go out there and prove it. And it's just they're just they've burned the whole they've almost burned this whole thing to the ground, which is just shocking in how quickly it happened, right? Like just so shocking. Like, because they had injuries at quarterback last year too, and I can explain that to that's why the bowl streak came to an end, because they had some injuries at that specific position. They still won some games. Heck, they were competitive in a couple of those really big games last year. The problem is this year, Chu.
But if you look,
like this program's gone from what it was to embarrassing very quickly.
Yeah, and if Gabe, it's not injuries, it's not whatever. It's they don't have good players. They just don't have good players, you know? And going out and getting 30 good players? You want to do that in a year? With Fickell? Good luck.
Yeah, it's...
Good luck.
I just don't know where they go from here. Because, I mean, based on this article, based on the letter that was put out by Chris McIntosh a couple of weeks ago, I don't think anything's changing.
Yeah.
It does not seem like anything's changing other than a mystery amount of money that's going to come into the football program. That's about the only thing that's going to change.
I agree.
And I don't know if that's going to ultimately be enough to change and turn things around for Wisconsin. And then they just kind of float into irrelevancy. And the crazy part is, and I know it's different because basketball, you don't have as many players, right?
Yeah,
it's just not as, you know, you only have 15 players max on the roster or whatever. But the basketball program hasn't had any issues shifting into this new era.
Mm-mm.
Zero issues. Greg Gard, despite a lot of people not thinking he could, has figured out how to operate in this new era of college athletics. Wisconsin's been pretty good. Wisconsin's been good on the basketball side the last couple of years.
Well, it's a little different in basketball because these shoe companies have been paying whoever for years, so the landing's been a little softer.
Still, you got to go out. You got to identify.
Well,
you
got
to know how to spend that money.
Yeah.
You still have to have money.
Correct.
And they've been able to figure it out over on the basketball side of things. And again, I understand it's different. And you need a lot more money for a football team because there's a lot more bodies over there. But it just, it is interesting to see how other parts of that athletic department have figured it out. And they haven't been able to figure it out in football. Did we put anything on the poll, Josh? Did we even bother putting the Chewy poll up?
No.
Okay.
We know where that
was
going.
We knew that one was going to go. Okay. We wrap up the show. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, ESPN Milwaukee listeners. Josh DiMaggio here for my friends at One Up Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. We know it's the football season. We've also got basketball, baseball, and a little hockey even going, so it is the time to play. I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens to win on Thursday, Lamar Jackson to have an anytime touchdown, and Zay Flowers to have over 72.5 yards. Also, I like the Denver Broncos as slight underdogs against the Texans. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN. It started with a
whisper. Couple texts I want to get to on the Carbless Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. A couple of people wondering if Dobbs could be traded. Or, you know, oh, have we traded a wide receiver for a cornerback? So, first and foremost, let's address Dobbs. I did think at the beginning of the season there was a chance that Dobbs could be traded if everybody was healthy and, okay, we can move forward. The problem is not everybody's healthy. Even Dontavian Wicks now has a calf injury. Obviously, we know Jaden Reed is out, too. So the fact that not everybody's healthy and you want to make sure you maintain your depth there, if they trade anyone, to me, it would be Dontavian Wicks. But even that, I think, would be a bit of a stretch right now. So I can't imagine that Romeo Dobbs would get traded at the trade deadline next week. I just don't see that as a possibility.
No, because Wicks will be your number four next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dobbs will be gone. It'll be Golden, Watson, Reed.
Yeah.
Wicks.
Yeah, so again, there's a world in which they could trade Wicks, like, but I think that's a slim possibility.
And there's a good connection with Love and Dobbs. You know, you ride it out this year, just in case, you know, break glass in case of emergency. There's a couple hamstrings in there. No, I wouldn't. Not when you're sitting atop the NFC right now.
No.
With home field advantage. Just the only thing, like I said, last couple of days I'd like to see him do is beef up that corner room a little bit.
Yeah, but we talked with Adam Schefter. If you missed that conversation, just go to the ESPN Wisconsin app and go listen to it from hour number one. Adam doesn't think there's a lot of corners out there.
No. No.
And that's the problem. It's a tough position to play, and not a lot of teams are trading their best guys or even top guys. I was doing the research yesterday on the guy that the Titans traded to.
Yeah,
his numbers are slightly better, but not like if Hobbs goes out there on Sunday and forces one incomplete pass, then their numbers are about the same. He's in the same ballpark of what Hobbs has been. It hasn't been that great.
My guess is they're doing something. They're working combinations. I would not be surprised if possibly throwing Bullard to see what he could maybe do out on the edge.
I can't imagine. I mean, he's a safety.
Well, they
got to
do
train.
Something. You got to do. I know.
That's a transition. That's a transition shoe I think you can make in the offseason, but I don't think you can go in the middle of the season.
I'm just saying break glass in case of emergency. They got to have
that's what Bo Melton is
up their sleeve.
That's what Bo Melton is.
No, I know.
But again, and we talked about this at the beginning of the year. There's not a lot of teams that have cornerback depth, which is why it's hard to trade for cornerbacks. Because if you have decent ones, rarely do you let them walk out.
I wonder if I moved to D end, what I would have done.
You think you'd have been all right?
Hell yeah! Just ask Joshy.
Willie Tausch coming up next.